I remember those are your books.
Yes,
Oh.
it is red background.
We're live.
Hello, everyone. We are live in the Facebook group. Just one second. We're going to go live on the radio.
Do you want me to sing a song or anything just to entertain those people that are here currently?
Well, welcome to Unleash Your Courage, everyone. Whether you're joining us on Turf Step Radio or live in the Facebook group, we are glad you're here. And I'm excited to have Matt from Clipa with us this week. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So instead of me doing an introduction, I like you to tell your story and however, in whatever format you want to tell us of your entrepreneurial journey and then where you're at now. So we're on to storytelling and
perfect.
You.
It all started back in 1974 when I was born, and that's the history. No, but as far as my experience, entrepreneurial experience, I've been an entrepreneur since 2006. Prior to that, I was a branch manager at a mortgage company. You know, very successful in the mortgage world. I kind of got out at the perfect time because we all know what happened in 2008. So I left that scene 2006, started a marketing company, and our second year in business, we did $6.5 million. So, and we had close to 500 employees working for us.
Wow.
So talk about your first entrepreneur experience. That was a roller coaster right there. But you know, we learned along the way. I learned a lot, and you know, it was fun. It was fun to put it together. It was all directly associated with the home building industry. So we had about a 2-year run, and then 2008 hit, and we know what happened there. So we just, you know, it just kind of dropped. All of our customers dropped. We lost about $250,000 in receivables. I mean, literally, they were locking up the gates at, you know, communities and stuff like that. So we couldn't even get a hold of the home builders to, you know, to get money from them. So it was a tough time, but, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So persevered, came back after I sold that company. It was about 2011, 12, somewhere around there. I jumped back into Christmas lights. I was hanging Christmas lights back in 98. It kind of ages me right there, back in San Diego. And I started just residential. And then 2012, I jumped back into the Christmas lights. Started offering training people how to start a Christmas light business. So I've been training for over 10 years now and trained over 1,000 people, you know, how to start a Christmas light business. Do installs myself. We do commercial installs. We have three different divisions. We do commercial installs in Southern California. We also import lights, Christmas lights from overseas, and then we sell to installers nationwide. And then we offer the trainings. So we travel all over the U.S. I go all over US and Canada this year. I'm excited about Canada, going up to Vancouver. And we just offer 2-day trainings and teach people how to start a Christmas light business. So it's very exciting. Christmas year round.
I mean, who doesn't love that? It's like joy all year round.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Clipa was started in 2017, just basically as a Facebook group, essentially is what it was. Clipa is Christmas Light Installation Pros Association. You can see it. It's fluttered all over my yes. wall and stuff like that. So it was just a Facebook group of installers helping installers, really is what it was. You know, the person in Florida helping the person in Texas. Hey, what do you do in this situation? Or where do you get your product from? Things like that. And it's grown. It's almost 7,000 members part of that group now. Just over the years, it's really grown and blossomed. So it's coming up on, you know, 5-6 years now of that group. And we've built, you know, I like to call it like a family, you know, Clipa's, you know, pretty much a family brotherhood. You're going to be speaking at ClipaCon, excited to have you out there.
Yes,
you're going to see, you're going to see and experience it. You know, it's really cool. It's a really neat event and very excited to have it this year.
I'm excited to be there in Las Vegas and experience it. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. You bet.
We're going to get back to ClipaCon because I want to talk to you a little bit more about that and why people should come and all of that. On your journey, I didn't know that is quite the entrepreneurial, like you said, roller coaster. What an extreme high of building a business and then and then the extreme low.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't see that from the outside. They think about starting a business. One, I love that you told the story of that's not where you begin. I think a lot of people in the home services space think, oh, it's too late for me, or all these people have started younger and been an entrepreneur the whole time, instead of that people don't always come to business ownership and the same path. You can be doing something different, and then the path doesn't always look the same. I can't imagine that had to feel that the high had to feel real good and the low had to feel not so good.
Yeah. I think looking back, and the biggest thing for me is I've always believed in myself, as far as, a business. I'm going to do whatever it takes, to make sure that I provide for my family and take care of my family. So that's always, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I don't care if I'm flipping burgers. I'm going to be the best damn flipper, flipping burger person out there. And I look back and, really looking into mindset, or your growth mindset or your fixed mindset. I really dug into that for myself and look back throughout my experience. I played Division I college volleyball, all that stuff. So I look back and all those experiences, I kind of looked at it like, was I growth? Was I, fixed? Every single experience I was looking at, I was always trying to get to that next level. Whether it was, if I was a busboy working in a restaurant, I worked at Ruth's Chris for a long time. But I always wanted to get to the next level. I always wanted to be, my thoughts were, I want to be the manager of this place, even though I'm just a busboy, So I always had that for every paper routes, whatever it was. I always wanted to be the best, at everything I did. Did it always work out that way? No. I moved on. I had a different, path in life and stuff. But I did work my way up at every single job I was doing. I was in the mortgage world for, 3 or 4 years, roughly. I was a branch manager by the time I exited, that. And that was pretty quick growth, to become running my own branch and all that stuff. And thank God I made the right decision to get out, because it just tanked, about a year after I left, not because of me by any means, but the industry tanked. And then, I was off building my $6.5 million company. So, there's ups and downs, but you have to believe in yourself.
Exactly. It starts with that belief in yourself. And I like that you said you always wanted to move up and be at the next level. That was me and other things that I did. I was always motivated by setting records and being the best. Yeah. Yeah. And when there was a clear path, although we were just talking about this on Dan's show, and I didn't realize when I had done sales and different things, and it wasn't necessarily my company, even though I've had a bunch of different those, when I was part of something that was sales or my career in Mary Kay, when there was a clear path to what number one was, mm-hmm. or the next thing was, I was always like, I'm doing that, I'm doing that. And yeah. Obviously, I'm always about growing my business. But sometimes I realized that those patterns of things that motivated me in the past, when there was a clear defined thing that you were going to next, it was sure. easy to see what it was. And sometimes I just realized that for myself. Sometimes I realized I gotten stuck because I might not challenge myself enough of like, what was breaking a record? What was the, sure. what is the next best?
Sure. Thing yeah. Yeah. And I'm always a big into learning. I always want to learn new things, and I'm studying the brain right now, just little things like that. And, I watch podcasts all the time. Kobe yep. Bryant, that guy's an inspiration right there. He has ups and downs in life, but, there's some great interviews with him about, how he overcame challenges, pulling his Achilles, or, when he tore that, he still played, he still walked off this court. There's a great interview of him talking about that, but perseverance and overcoming challenges in life, because things are thrown at us. I mean, I've had some ups and downs, and yeah, you're right. When that, 2008 hit, it hurt a lot of people. I mean, we dropped big time. I mean, we were doing 6.5, and by the end, when I sold it, we were probably doing 140,000, so that's tough. That's a tough challenge to overcome, but you've got to move on, and you've got to find your next journey in life. Did I think I was going to be hanging Christmas lights and running, this company? No, I didn't, but I saw myself doing something, big.
What do you think? Is it that thought of doing something big? People ask me that as I've hit the bottom, then to restart over and reinvent yourself. What do you think it is about you, or what things, systems have you had in place that you are able to bounce back, start over, recreate so quickly?
I think vision, just having a vision and going after it. You know, a lot of people have ideas, you know, and stuff like that. They talk about them. Hey, I got this idea, but they never pursue, you know, their visions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I've always done. You know, I've always envisioned. I sit back, you know, sit down and like, what do I envision for my three different divisions in this company. So, you know, we sit down, we look at it. This is our vision. And it's not just a vision for this year. It's a vision for next year and the next 5 years, the next 10 years. And the same goes for our life. You know, where do I want to see myself in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you know, down the road, whether that's moving, living here, whatever the case is. I think it's a vision. And then going after that vision is what helped me, you know, a lot of the time. Okay.
Yeah.
And just following it again, you know, just following through on the vision and not every single vision works out the way you had it in your mind. There's been a lot of things that I've had, you know, we fail, you know, sometimes we fail, but that's okay. That's what makes you stronger. If you learn from it, then you move on and you become stronger for it. If you're succeeding in every single thing, then I'd love to talk to, you know, whoever that individual is, but that's what people do. They try things, they fail, but they move on and they, you know, try something else. So I think that's the biggest thing is the vision and actually going after that vision for me.
Yeah, I love that. I like when you said it might not look exactly like you thought it was. That's something that I've grown in the last, more recently. I mean, I would pick up and start again and go because of the vision, but I was a little often too obsessed or stuck in that the picture was going to look like what I thought it was going to, that the new vision is going to be my picture, and to be open to the fact that, yes, I'm going to start again. Yes, I know I'm going to be successful and the best at whatever I'm going to be, but that picture might look different. The picture of what I'm meant to do, like you said, I never thought I'd be in Christmas lights again. I certainly never thought a year ago I would, you know, be on Turf Step Radio, be on Dan Show. Be it at all these shows in the home industry and meet all these incredible people. So the picture, I'm doing what I love and spreading the message of courage and working with business owners. Sure. But I had to be open to that. It wasn't necessarily the picture that I thought I would have.
But I think what you're doing is very important, and it's going to be more so important in the upcoming years. People need the courage. It's very inspirational to hear that and, you know, listen to the podcast, you know, different people, Ed Milet or Andy Frisella, your stuff that you have, you know, all these different guys listening to them and guys and gals. It's going to be a tough time. It's going to be a tough road, you know, in the next, I think, 5 to 6 years, maybe further. But I think, you know, we need that. I think a lot of people need the courage. They need the inspiration. And you know, that's a lot of that stuff is my core values, inspiring, motivating people. That's within my core values of our company and my life too. You know, I want to, you know, inspire people. I want to motivate people. Education is one of them. And that's what we do is we teach, you know, we educate people by, you know, getting them in the Christmas light business. But I think a lot of people need that. And I think it's very important. So what you're doing, keep doing it.
Well, thank you. And those align with my mission and vision too. And another one that surprised me was the strength of this community and how important it is to have a community. And that's definitely something that you're building in that Facebook group and with Clipicon. But the value of surrounding yourself with, for so many reasons, the value of surrounding yourself with like-minded people, that a community of entrepreneurs that are going through the same struggles, have the same things, that are a safe space to share those ups and downs. Because people in, I hate to say the outside world, but people that aren't business owners don't necessarily understand that ultimate drive and do anything to get it done, or the sense of that roller coaster. So talk to me a little bit about that, of the community that you've built in Clipa and ultimately ClipaCon.
I really try to keep it clean. There's a lot of hate out there. There's a lot of, you know, people bashing people, you know, people, keyboard warriors that are on there. And it's really easy to sit there and bash somebody when you're behind the screen and, you know, you don't have your face or, you know, in front of them and stuff like that. Really easy to sit there and go off on somebody. They're hiding behind their, you know, keyboards. There's just too much of that out there. So, you know, for me and Clippa, it's very important that we keep it clean, the group itself. And just, you know, you got to remind some people, it's like at one point you didn't know the answer to that, you know? So you've been doing this for 7 or 8, 9 years, 10, whatever it was, you didn't know the answer back then. So you need to take it easy. You need to, you know, help this person out, help this individual out. Cause at some point you were in that seat. So it's not okay to do what you're doing, and we'll kick people out all the time. I mean, people don't like it. Oh, what'd you kick me out for? Because you're berating somebody that asks a simple question. So I want to keep that community, that way, our group, and we try to do our best. You know, people get in there and they, you know, whatever, they go after people. But we'll do our best. And, you know, I really look at it, you know, like a family reunion, you know, for a Clippicon, is that's what it is to me. Cause these people, they're all part of my family. I mean, they really are. Whether they know it or not, you know, that's how I look at them. And that's really, and all the people I'm hearing, like, oh, so-and-so's coming. I'm like, yeah, that's great. I haven't seen, you know, I love it. I can't wait to see him. You know, that time we don't see him enough. We see him once a year, whatever the case. And I really do care about, you know, all those individuals and how successful they are in business. For me, that is inspiring to hear that, you know, so-and-so's doing $1 million in Christmas lights and he trained with me 3 years ago or 4 years ago. That, like, right there, I mean, I just get the chills, that, you know, the goosebumps to think about that stuff. So that's really what I try to instill in, you know, everybody that's here, the Clippa girls and all of our staff is, you know, we really want to, it's a family, and that's kind of how, we just, you know, our core values, you know, instill that in them. And that's how we operate, you know, as a family. Things happen, family, you know, family members fight, family have issues and stuff like that. But at the end, you know, we're all going to come together and have a great time in ClippaCon.
I love it.
And those that can't make it, you know, that's okay. You know, you can't make everything all the time, but love to have everybody out there. And I love it. I love the networking. I love meeting new people, hearing their stories, their life stories. And back to, you know, I think you were saying something about the rough times and stuff like that people go through. And I love the speakers, you know, like John Majak. I don't know if you know Johnny Majak. He's going to be our keynote speaker at ClippaCon. That dude's been through some tough times. And I think it's inspiring to see, like, somebody, you know, and the guy, I mean, he was really, he was down in the dumps, you know, he'll tell the story at ClippaCon. But look at him now. He's so successful. He turned things around. And just surrounding yourself with people like that and talking to them. And it's inspirational to see, you know, hear that stuff and see that stuff. He was out at the IWCA. He was the keynote out there as well. I don't think so, but it was really good. It's really inspiring to do that. And I think it's important to surround yourself with like-minded individuals and just, you know, try to, you know, teach everybody, you know, try to make life better, try to make life better for everybody if you can. These videos, you know, whatever video, if we touch one person, that's enough for me.
Oh, absolutely. So if you are watching on Facebook, you can leave us a comment, tell us that you're here. Ask a question. I love when you help ask some questions too. If you're watching on Facebook, make sure that you do that. And so tell us about who should, I love that you said it's like a family reunion. I can't wait to meet people. I met some of the people on your team at IWCA. And so I'm excited to get to see them again, but tell us who all should come to ClippaCon, not just for people in the holiday lighting industry, right? Like if you're considering adding that onto your business. Who else should come and learn about the
thing? I think it's really for anybody that's aspiring to be an entrepreneur. You know, maybe they haven't taken that step yet. Like the story I was telling you earlier about the guy that took my training, you know, 3 or 4 years, it was pre-COVID. So it was probably about 4 years ago. He's now doing $1 million in Christmas lights. And we sat with him, you know, maybe 2 years ago. We were at a show in St. Louis and we sat with him and we, you know, told him like, man, there's an opportunity here, you know, and, you know, you need to quit your full-time job, go after this. He went after it and he's doing $1 million. And that to me is just, you know, that's priceless right there. So anybody can really join us. And this isn't just, you know, people that are on the stage talking Christmas lights. It's not just, you know, oh, Christmas. There's actually very little of that going on. These are just entrepreneurs and different businesses, you know, that have been successful in life. A lot of coaches, you know, that are here. That are coming, that are speaking. These are coaches and different things, Conquer or maybe outside Conquer, and the life experience and a lot of knowledge that they're spreading to anybody that's an entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur that's what you're going to get out of this. We do have the, you know, the exhibitor side where we're going to have a lot of lighting, you know, companies there, nothing crazy, maybe five or six vendors for lighting. And then outside of that, if you're in the service related business, maybe it's pressure washing, maybe power washing, landscaping, whatever, this is a great event for you because we're going to have several exhibitors there that are going to be basically they work for all sorts of different, industries, you know, All Set is a tipping app, really cool, you know, thing. We have Company Cam coming. So all these different vendors that are going to be there, exhibitors that are going to be there. So really anybody can join us. I mean, at this event, if you like Christmas lights, come on out. Even if you're like, no, I'm good with my job. You know, I love flipping burgers, you know, I'm fine. Great. Come out and see Christmas lights. You know, it's going to be a great experience. We've got the exhibitor side. We've got the, you know, the speaker side, we've got some fun and games. We're doing a social event. We got a private pool rented out. We're going to go up there for a couple hours. Yeah. No swimming though. Don't get too excited. We've got that rented out, 2 hours, just, you know, fun, just hanging out and, drinking, socializing, listen to music, have some good time, you know, and talk to speakers and things like that. So we're excited for that. And, yeah, it's just an overall great experience. What's that?
And we're in Vegas.
That's right. We got Magic Mike, right there for all the women that want to go see Magic Mike. Is that what it's called? Magic Mike's?
I'm not a person, but I think so.
You might want to connect with the Clipper girls because I think they're talking about going.
Melody says there's a group going. So
you don't know anything about that, huh? Nothing. You don't know anything about that place. Got it.
Well, right. We are going to take our first commercial break, and then if it plays, you never know if it will. And then we will be back and talk a little bit more about Courage.
Sounds good.
Okay. No, 1 second, commercial done. We have Facebook that says they don't hear any of my audio.
They just missed a lot of good stuff.
They just missed a lot of mine.
No, I can hear you.
You heard the commercial. It's working on the radio.
I didn't hear anything during the commercial break. I don't know if there was something playing.
You did it?
No.
That's so weird.
That's why I was talking. I wouldn't have been talking if I could hear it. I didn't hear it.
The commercial was playing and it worked fine on the radio. I don't know why when the commercial goes on here, because it goes into the mic just like I'm going into the mic. So I don't know why it doesn't play back for you. I think it doesn't play back for you because, for some reason the commercials don't go on because the commercials go through this microphone. Anyway, okay. I have to play the commercials for the radio. So you people on Facebook just get to sit there.
Yeah. And you just listen to me apparently, because they can't hear you.
It's like this reverb that doesn't go back into you. Cause for you to be on the radio, I have to put you on a speaker and through my microphone. It's a whole setup thing.
Interesting. Very techy.
But the commercials are for Turf Step Radio. So if you can't hear them on Facebook, it's entertain your own. I should have the guests sing or do their own entertainment.
That's what I was saying. I was like, I can do this. I'll do a little sponsor right here. Whiskey. Drip whiskey.
Tell me about that. This is our little commercial from you that has more to do with Clipicon. And
yeah.
So tell me about that.
I don't know if you got my comment. Did you get my comment about Will Ferrell? Did you get that one?
Yes, I didn't. I didn't reply back to that. Darn it.
No, that's okay. I just didn't know. Basically every single time I do my trainings, I get up there, and maybe it was when I was a little heavier. I did lose about 20 something pounds. But you know, people would be all they would sit there and like be, oh my God, whispering. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, bring it on. What are you thinking? Oh, we just thought you looked like Will Ferrell, you know, your mannerisms. I'm like, I don't see it, but people think it all the time. So, I mean, I've been literally sitting down at restaurants, you know, when I was heavier back then, and people were like whispering, like thinking I'm Will Ferrell, but I don't see it, but maybe you do. So anyway.
Well, I love it.
And that's why I posted that. So this is, I got this gift today. This is a Drift Distillery. Never heard of them before until today. San Clemente, California, this bourbon. So the reason I have this is you've got right here, you see Folds of Honor, and you can see my shirt that's Folds of Honor. Yep. So Folds of Honor is actually an organization that we partnered up with. And what we're going to be doing, they're going to be at ClipaCon. They're going to be just about a 10-minute speech, just talking about, you know, their organization and stuff like that. What they do is they give scholarships to fallen soldiers, their family members, so their children, spouses, and they help them through school. So they provide scholarships for that. And they actually just a couple of years ago, they expanded that out to first responders. So they help police and they help fire departments too. So God forbid somebody should, you know, perish. They do help out the children and, you know, the spouses and get them through. So we're going to have somebody, either a recipient out at ClipaCon that's going to speak and talk about Folds of Honor. And for me, it's really close to my heart because my dad actually was killed back in 1975, January 13th, 1975. I was born in November 1974, so I never knew him. And he was a Navy pilot in San Diego, Miramar, California. Used to be the Top Gun, you know, area and stuff like that. He wasn't part of Top Gun, but he was a Navy pilot. And he was doing training missions down there, and he very similar to what happened to Goose, you know, shot out, hit the canopy type thing. At least that's what I've been told. Happened to them, but they had an accident down there. So this is very, you know, Folds of Honor wasn't around back then. But, you know, I look back at my mom raising three of us on her own and, you know, all the stuff that it's, you know, coming. It's like, wow, she worked, you know, worked during the day here. And then at nighttime, she worked in the grocery store. I mean, she just busted her ass, you know, to help us out. And she didn't have something, you know, or an organization like Folds of Honor to help her through that process. So that's kind of why I, you know, it's really close to my heart. And actually I have my dad, oh, it's over here. This is my dad's flag right here, from his casket and stuff like that. I just got that from my mom the other day, got it a case and stuff like that. So it's now hanging in my office. So, very excited to work with them. Very cool organization. And, they give about, I think it's like 91%, of their, the money they raise actually goes to scholarships, which is really cool. So they're going to be out at ClipaCon. We're doing part of the proceeds for the ticket sales are going to go to Folds of Honor. We're going to do a 50-50 raffle there. 50% will go to the winner. 50% will go to Folds of Honor. And then they have a booth there. They're going to be giving out, you know, all sorts of stuff. We'll have some giveaways for Folds of Honor. So that's what kind of where that comes into play. And they just gave me this bottle of whiskey. This is Confluence of Folds of Honor Drift Distillery. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I love it. Such a great thing that you're doing in giving back and choosing an organization and the one that sounds like it has a great purpose and a personal connection, but awesome that you choose that and make, you know, have that tied in as well.
Yeah. So. And I kind of look back, I mean, this really came to a fruition. I mean, I've always supported, we support cystic fibrosis, my sister-in-law has CF, it's a lung function disease. So Her lung capacity is not anywhere close to what ours are. So she's always doing, you know, she's doing fibrillator, you know, all sorts of stuff all the time. So we've been going to that every year. We support that. But to me, this was like, you know, I kind of look back and I said, you know, six basic needs, one of them significance, you got contribution. So I kind of look at that, you know, I'm like, gosh, you know, my contributions, you know, probably about 5% were my, you know, significance. And that means like, oh, I want cars, I want this, you know, whatever. Good. Yeah, big house, you know, that type of stuff. And there's, you know, four others. But, you know, I kind of looked at those and I was like, I don't like the fact that my contribution's at 5%. And it's, you know, so that's what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to switch and trying to contribute more in life and help people more. And Folds of Honor is one of the, you know, there's so many organizations out there that are, you know, great organizations to help. But this one, again, this is just really close to me. And so I'm very excited about doing this. So I'm hoping we can do our part.
Awesome. I'm excited to learn more about it when I'm there as well. So just a reminder, if you are joining us on Facebook, let us know you're here. Ask some questions. Hildy, my daughter, is obviously not in the house today because she is usually the biggest heckler. Of people she doesn't even know. Last week, I was like, you don't even know Dan. Just fire away making fun of Dan. We couldn't get the last week I did have technical difficulties. Now Dan, because he's on Turf Step, could run the commercials.
Yeah.
But didn't have my music. And so Hildy was like, sing, Dan, sing. We won't make you sing.
So you have people behind the scenes. If there's no questions on Facebook, you have like, hey, answer, ask a question. So you got your kids there answering or asking questions.
No, I do not have people behind the scenes. She gets on. Right. My kids are 20 and 23, And so she usually gets on as a fan. And no, the heckling is definitely not for, but I'm like, I can't believe you just said that. But that's what it's like. They're sometimes my hecklers that are not appropriate. Okay, we are going to dive a little into courage. So what in your journey, do you have a story about a courageous decision or a big risk that you took that turned out well, or maybe didn't turn out well, but some memory or story of courage and risk?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's been a few in all my 28 years on this earth. Just kidding.
I was like, no.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, you're not 28, pal.
I happen to have the years like pretty much the same as you. So
on my 48 years, courage. I think the courage, you know, probably the biggest one I can really think of is, you know, for me to take that transition from working for somebody to working for myself. I think that was a lot of courage because at that time I had two young kids, you know, and for me, there's more to life than, you know, money and stuff like that. That'll come, you know, you'll find that at some point. For me, it was my kids were asleep when I left the house and they were going to sleep when I went, you know, got home because my commute was like an hour and 15 or something like that. It was over an hour. And so for me, that was, it was hard. You know, I had her health insurance. I had all that stuff. So that was a big leap of faith on my part, you know, to believe in myself. And, you know, as I mentioned, I always believed in myself that I'm going to do something. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm going to find out a way to make money. So whether that's working a restaurant or being self-employed, whatever the case is. And here I am, you know, whatever it is, you know, 15 years later, 16 years, still doing entrepreneurial stuff and always growing, always evolving and stuff like that. So I think that was probably one of the biggest courageous things that I did was, you know, quitting that job. I mean, I was making a lot of money at the mortgage world, you know, some big checks coming in. And so that was a big leap of faith on my part. So I had to be courageous in that. And, you know, I persevered, which was great, you know, and then, you know, falling down and then getting back up. And that's, I think that takes courage right there in itself. Having a business that was thriving, dropping down to, you know, almost zero. I mean, going from 4.6 million or I'm sorry, 6.5 million down to 140,000 monthly, you know, or yearly revenue. That's pretty detrimental. That was a pretty big hit. So it took courage to jump back out there. And, you know, after I was, you know, knocked down, I had to pick myself up and I had to, you know, find something new to do. And that's what I did. So that's, you know, that's probably the business courage I can think of right there. But yeah, hopefully that was.
No, they are. They're risks that some people don't understand. Like you are leaving the safety and security of a paycheck and all the security that that brings with the weight of the world of, yeah, supporting your family, supporting people, being responsible for people, and then just taking a leap, I guess, without a plan B. Mm-hmm. That you just know that you'll find a way, make a way to make it work. And then in business, you're responsible for even more people. That's what I say when people are like, did you know that you could support yourself? You know, there was no one else to do it. And then you enter a world that you're not just responsible for your family. Yeah. You're like, now I just took on a bigger family of weight and responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, and they're putting the faith in you, which pours more pressure on you as a business owner to ensure that they, you know, have a paycheck tomorrow or, you know, next week or whatever it is. You know, and there was difficult times. I mean, we experienced it during COVID, you know, that was a rough time for a lot of people. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people didn't make it through those times. But that, you know, that made us stronger, you know, it made those tough times are what makes, you know, entrepreneurs stronger. If you can persevere during those times. And that's what a lot of us did, you know, we did great during that time, you know, and, you know, it's not like we're trying to reap the benefits of a bad experience, but you've got to be strong during those times. And those are the people that are really going to survive and do well, you know, in business, I should say.
Yes.
So
they can pivot and make it through.
Yeah.
So I talk a lot in the book and with business owners that are leaders, because we're ultimately leading so many people, like we just talked about, that I believe that leadership begins with leading yourself well. And what you talked a lot about, you know, things that you're reading, podcasts, you know, you can tell from the things that you talked about that this is important to you and you do these things intentionally and habits. But anything else you want to share about that, of what leading yourself well means to you, and maybe things, habits, routines, anything in your life that's important that help you do that?
You know, there's basically 11 principles. I'm not going to go through them all, that I like to stick to with leadership. You know, always be creating new leaders. You know, that's one of them. You know, there's being an entrepreneur, being an evangelist. You know, be evangelical about what your cause is and what you're talking about. So if I'm talking to you about Christmas light, oh yeah, Angela, I can train you, I could teach you how to do that stuff, and yeah, you want to start a Christmas, or am I excited about it? You know, I've got to be, you know, evangelical about it and get you excited about it, getting in this business. And that's something I really try to stick to, and I try to get the girls to do it too, whether they're selling light bulbs or whatever the case is. You've got to be excited, you know, because it comes off rather on the phone or in person, whatever the case is. You just want to make sure you're doing that. So that's just a few. And I really try to stick to those principles. And, getting excited about people making sales and things like that, and making sure you're recognizing, you know, be generous with recognition. That's one of the things, you know, we recognize people all the time. It's like, hey, good job, you did this, whatever. It could be in person, it could be in front of everybody. But that goes a long way. And people don't realize as a leader, how far your words really go with, you know, employees and stuff like that. So it could be just a little thing. It could just be like, hey, nice job. You know, that was a great email you sent. And that goes a long way with your employees, and people don't realize that. So I think it's sticking those 11 principles. You know, there's a lot more in there. You know, the culture, I'm big on culture in here. We really try to create a culture where everybody loves coming to work. You know, that's very important. And it wasn't always that way. You know, that didn't really, that wasn't a thing on my radar where it's like, oh, I really want a good culture. I think I always had that. You know, we always had somebody that was, you know, not fitting in, whatever the case is. But, you know, I've always built that, but I'm always trying to make it better. You know, we can always make things better. Every single year we want to improve. You know, how can we get better this year? You know, if we do the same thing we did this last year, we're going to have the same numbers. We're going to have the same result. Yeah. For me, I'm always pushing, you know, the sales reps, and it doesn't matter who it is. It could be the person working in the warehouse. I'm always pushing them to get better. And if, you know, if you want the same results, then do the same things. But we don't want that. We want to grow. We want to be a bigger company this year. And I've got some lofty goals for them. And they came close this year, this last year, what we're shooting for. But, you know, I give them motivation to get there. We do whatever. We were trying to do a Bora Bora trip, I think they wanted to do. And to me, that sounded boring. But I think you just sit on an island, I guess, but doesn't sound like there's much to do. Yeah. I hear him laughing. I'm sure they want to do that Bora Bora trip.
I'm laughing because I would want to do the Bora Bora trip, but
I didn't sound excited. Something like a cruise sounds cool to me, but anyway, it's their goal. It's whatever we hit it, we're going to do something fun, but we try to do something like that. And we try to do little fun things here and there, together as a team. And, just try to keep that culture rolling and just make sure everybody's on the same page. You know, if somebody drifts off and is not, we try to rein them back in. If they don't, then we'll figure out something else for them. So I don't know I don't even know if I answered the question.
That's all kinds of stuff about leadership. I wrote all kinds of things down.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I talked about, I don't even touch upon what you asked me, but.
You did. Of leading
yourself well. Kind of cool
to me. Other people. You talked about a lot of things that of leading people well as well. So we're going to take our second commercial break. Heads up, Facebook. You're not going to be able to hear it, but the people on Turfs Up are. Those of you that are on Facebook, though, this gives you one last chance if you want to ask us some questions while we play this commercial break.
And I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, there will be something playing, maybe.
Nope.
And we're back from commercial break.
All right.
Even though you couldn't hear it, you're like, I don't know. It's a mystery. What's playing?
I didn't hear anything.
So. Okay. Well, I just have some final, just a couple final questions to wrap up for you.
Okay.
So I did give you a heads up on this one. Maybe you got to think about it. Is there anything that you've learned in the last year that has shifted your perspective on something that has then changed something in your business or your life?
Something I've learned, or something I've changed. I could tell you that, learning, education. I think that's been a big shift in my focus. August, September last year, I really, disciplined myself to start reading and start, it doesn't matter what it is, reading books. I've never really been a reader. I don't want to say a reader. But I changed that mindset, and I tell myself every day, I'm a reader. You're a reader, and there's certain things that I do in my life. Same thing, like flying. Flying was never my forte. I've done it. I've flown everywhere, but I sit there and tell myself every morning, I'm a flyer. You're a flyer. If you think you're bad at running or whatever the case is, I tell myself I'm a runner. I'm a great runner. And that gets me motivated. And people ask you, oh yeah, do you like running? Oh, I love it. I love it. A year ago, I would have said, no, man, I hate running. It sucks, but I want to be a runner. I want to run. I want to, get healthy and stuff like that. So I changed that mindset. But I think education is probably the biggest thing. And just reading and listen to podcasts, listen to Angela's show every single day and pick up little nuggets, right? And then you like them, you call them nuggets. It's so funny. I hear that because you were saying nuggets on our show, our interview last week. And now I hear the girls saying it. It's great. I heard her on the phone earlier. Nuggets, nuggets. Like, yeah, that's Angela right there.
Okay. I have to dive into this running. You weren't a runner and you changed yourself into one?
Yeah. So, and a lot of the stuff that we do in life, whatever it may be. And I look back on this, I'm like, why do I think I'm not a runner? How come I label myself as a runner? And I look back at my college days. I was a great athlete. All-American volleyball player, and I look back and I was labeled as my coach labeled me as a gazelle. And I look back, I'm like, geez, I guess I'm a gazelle, and the gazelle is, typically the one John Majek will tell you gets eaten by the lion. Not all gazelles do. It's the slowest gazelle. So you just, it's okay to be a gazelle. Just don't be the slowest one. And then the next day, you don't want to be the slowest one after the other one perished, but that's where I was labeled as, as a gazelle. And like, okay, I just took it and I guess I'm not a good runner. I guess I'm slow. I guess I'm not slow. Like I can do sprints fast, but long distance I wasn't. So I had to change that mindset, in myself. I had to change it, and get rid of I still see my coach, he passed away last year. Hayden, that's what he used to say. Hayden, get your head out of your ass, that type of thing. That was his big thing to me. But I just wasn't that runner. And I've always, for the last 20 years, that's been my mindset, but I changed that and I changed it as I am a runner. I'm a great runner. And now I run 12 miles a week, which I think is pretty, some people are like, oh, that's nothing. But compared to what, I'm not going out and running, any marathons anytime soon, but that's okay. I've changed the mindset of I am a good runner. So I think that's a lot of things that I've shifted over the last, I would say 6 to 8 months. Is just really getting over that. And why was I labeled that way for 20 something years? It took me to realize like, I am a good runner. I run 4 miles, 3 days a week, is what I do. And to me, that's pretty damn good. Anybody else wants to tell me otherwise? That's okay. I'm still going to do it.
I'm impressed by a lot of things, but the running, that's what people ask me if I run. And I do workout fitness is part of my thing, but I tell myself I'm runner all the not a runner all the time. People ask if I run. I said, not unless I'm being chased by a bear.
There you go. But it's a little thing like that.
Maybe people
tell themselves that, oh, I'm terrible at remembering names. For me, I changed that. I used to say that. I used to what I would tell people. But now I'm like, oh, I'm great at it. Yeah, I may forget sometimes, but if I've changed that mindset that I am good at it and I can continue to tell, and now I'm pretty damn good at it. I remember names like somebody tells me and sometimes I'll forget, but I do my best. I go into a room of 6-7 people. I try to remember every single name in there. But if I just keep continuing to tell myself that and I get better at it, I will be eventually really good at And Jim Quick, you know, he has some great articles. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's got some great articles on the mind and how to remember names and things like that. So, but I think that's the, back to your original question, I think that's what it was, just changing and educating myself. Leaders are readers, you know, type thing, and just reading more books, reading, you know, listen to podcasts, things like that. And I used to tell, I suck at reading. I'm great at reading now. You know, I just tell my mindset that, you know, there's people that read a book, you know, a week. I'm like, I'm not there, but, you know, maybe someday.
I listen to a book a week.
That's good. That's great.
That's my choice. Yeah. But I love that insight of changing the story that you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
We all have the choice to do that, of what story it is that we're telling ourselves, and whether we sure. want to make an excuse about it, or tell ourselves we're good at something, or tell ourselves we're bad at something. We all have the choice of the story we want to tell ourselves. Okay. So okay. This new into reading, you've mentioned a bunch of different books. Do you have a favorite one you've read recently?
I'll tell you, the most impactful one was probably The Power of One More by Ed Milet. That book right there is amazing. And I got that book from John Majak. He was telling me about it. And I asked him, I was interviewing him last year, and I said, what's the, you know, number one book you'd recommend? And that was it. Power of One More. Great book. I've turned it on to a lot of people to it. And, you know, they like the audio because Ed Milet has, his voice is like, it's like translucent. I mean, it's just like, it's yeah. pretty cool. I think it's great. I listen to the podcast. I listen to that one. But for me, you know, I go back on that book. I think I've probably read it like 7 times. And not like in, you know, in sequence. I basically just, you know, if there's something that I really like, okay, I'm going to go back and go back to this chapter or back to this chapter. I go back to different chapters based on what is going on in my life and stuff like that. And really what I want to hone in on. I kind of just go back to that chapter and listen to it, re-listen to it, whatever. Or read it. So I think that was probably the most powerful one that I've read. And you know, I haven't read, you know, hundreds of books or anything like that. So there's not a huge amount of, you know, to choose from, you know, for me, but that's a pretty good one. Atomic Habits. That's a good one. I'm reading that right.
Yep.
So that's a really good one. I think that's a great one. So I would definitely recommend that one. And there's a few others, but yeah, those are probably the top two that I really like.
Awesome. I have not read Power of One, so I'm put that on my list and download it. And you did a good job of keeping it dialed in. Yeah. When we were talking and you asked me, I couldn't pick. I was like, and then.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. You bring me one of your books, and I'll bring you one of the powers.
Oh, okay.
We'll do a book swap.
What am I going to
do? Oh, well, you don't have any more?
One of my books.
Yes.
I thought you meant one of my favorite books.
No. One of your books that you're going to bring me anyways. So
yes, I was going to bring you it anyway.
Yes. So
okay. That's the deal. We'll do a swap on that. So even though I listen to books, I do obviously have books behind me. My favorite ones, I like to turn the pages of them. Kind of like you said, if there's something I want to revisit,
yeah,
that I will go back and read, you know, read just a little bit of that. So I have to, all the books I really love, I have to buy both ways.
But. Yeah. Yeah. And I think when you're reading, I think it's, you know, important if you don't understand something in there, like a word or whatever the case is, that's what I do a lot of. There'll be a word and I'll be like, oh, what is that? And then I'll go research that word and then I'll send an email to myself the next morning. I'll print it out and I've got this whole portfolio of things that I can flip through and look back and, oh, what is this? What is this? And just things like that, you know, all sorts. I'm studying the brain right now, which is pretty neat. I mean, I'm not by any means going to be a brain scientist or anything like that, but that interests me, you know, that was really interesting to me. I saw another podcast about the brain and, you know, all that stuff. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And a lot of big words in there that I can't even pronounce, but hey, anyway.
If you like studying the brain, the book Brain Bliss, mentor recommended to me a while ago and is fascinating as well.
Yeah, so. Cool. I'll check it out.
Okay, well, we are about out of time. So one last question. If you have one parting, you've shared so many nuggets of wisdom. Yeah. If you have one parting wisdom for our guest, anything that we didn't get to talk about or that you want people to know?
Well, I mean, I said it earlier, you got to believe in yourself. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Believe in yourself, because that goes a long way. You know, go to Clippicon. That's a good one.
Yes,
come see Angela at Clippicon. Surround yourself with, you know, successful people. And I really, you got to look at your inner circle and outer circle and all that stuff. And look at who you're surrounding yourself with. And does this serve me? You know, things you're doing in your life. And, you know, I look at a lot of things and I'm like, you know, I go on, you know, Fox News or whatever. And I look at, you know, what was my emotion when I went on there? And I try to eliminate that stuff. You know, God, I'm so angry when I went on. I get so angry scrolling through this stuff. You know, really focus on yourself and your emotions and what triggers your emotions on certain things. And get rid of those things in your life. You know, if you're always angry doing certain things, try to get rid of them or change it or, you know, something like that. And I think that's going to make your life a lot better. I think it'll make everybody's, and I know it has mine, to look at why did I, you know, trigger that way, or why did I trigger that way? Or that was positive. That's cool. I'm going to invite more of that into my life, or the negative, you know, I'm going to get rid of that. And I'm going to try to figure out a way to get rid of that. So I think that's my words of wisdom. I don't know.
Those are a lot of good nuggets at the end. And I think the trigger one, I mean, I identified with so many of those, but I think we need more of that and talk more about that and identify that, like you said, what are triggers that make us feel ways that make us feel good or make us feel bad, and how do we need to learn from those?
And so, I did say I was going to get you to say nugget 5 times. I only got 4 out of you. Can you just say it one more time for me?
You did? Is that a bet, like internally?
I'm just kidding. I just messed with you. I just thought it was funny because I remember you were saying that word, and then I heard it say it this morning, and it was just like, oh yeah, that's Angela. You know, she says that. Who knows? It's the RAS kicked in, my reticular activating system. So now I'm recognizing. I heard nugget, and now I hear it everywhere. It was always there. You know, it's like the blue car. You know, it was always there. You just never noticed it. Now that you do notice it, you see it. You know, so. Anyway.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Matt, and for being here with me. And I am very excited to meet you in person and be part of your event. So it was very much an honor that you asked me. And that's only a few short weeks away. So
that's right. Yeah.
We'll put it in the show notes, everything about Clippicon as well. Like Matt said, we would love to have you join us. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us every Wednesday. You can catch us live on Turf Step Radio and in the Facebook group, or download and listen to the podcast later, or watch it on YouTube. So thanks again, Matt, and we will see you soon.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.